We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
Yes. Definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is...
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just... would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's
just... And I'm not going to be a little bitch this time. I swear it.
You are always a little bitch. Every single time you talk, you become a little bitch. Not like a little bitch, not like a singular little bitch, but like the superhero, a little bitch.
I mean, I'm the little bitch.
No. A little bitch is a superhero name.
Oh, a little bitch.
A little bitch. Look up in the sky. It's have no fear. A little bitch.
A little bitch is here.
Exactly. It's perfect.
It matches me so well.
It matches perfectly. Well, welcome, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back to another edition of Soul of a Gamer podcast. I'm Scott.
And I'm a little bitch.
And he's a little bitch named Steven. We went both on the same thing there.
That was awesome.
And every week we play a game. We give you the nitty gritty of the behind the scenes of the making of the game. And we tell you how we like the game.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Yeah. That game.
I got it.
Until Dawn?
I was going to say, I know what it is.
Yes,
Until Dawn. We played Until Dawn last time. That was a fun one for us. I love the backstory for that. And this one has a very similar backstory, honestly. It's really funny how this is like the third game in a row where the same things keep happening. And you're like, man, and it's all in the same time period between like 2008 and 2012.
Okay.
And I'm just like, what is happening between these two time periods that's fucking over games so bad?
Everything,
apparently. But let's just start this out with telling you what we're playing. So, Steven, what the fuck are you playing?
So, as I was telling you guys last week, I was playing TCG Card Shop Simulator, so I've been playing a lot more of that.
Dude, I just want you to know really fast that I tried selling that game to some people, and they keep telling me, like, it was just kind of dumb, and I'm like, you're just kind of fucking dumb.
No, seriously, though. Like, a lot of those simulator games, they sound so dumb. I was one of those people that I was like, this sounds dumb. Dude, I don't understand why this is a thing.
I saw a mod of it being Pokemon cards, and I was like, I want to play this fucking game.
Oh, shit. That would be cool.
That would be the coolest.
And I also found out recently, like, the card values and stuff are different on every gameplay. So even every time you play it, the card values can be, and they can be widely different. They're not going to be, like, in the same bracket. Like, some people said, like, this card was worth, like, 300 in one game and then 2500 the next game.
That's crazy. And then,
so he's like, it actually like changes almost kind of like a card shop would, because card values are totally just random.
Yeah,
sometimes like a card will just blow up and all of a sudden be worth $50.
I might go after we record this and just go buy it on my Oculus. I know I said I was going to do it last week, but then I just kind of got kind of got too busy playing the games I want to play. But I think I'm going to do that as soon as we get off this call.
I mean, dude, it's worth it. It's fun, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a
lot. Well, and if you wanted to try it, I have it on our Steam account. If you wanted to test it first, but yeah, that and I wanted to also say that Jin, after listening to our episode about Typing the Dead, played through the entire game.
Did she like it?
She did.
Okay.
She actually started out on normal hardcore mode too.
Nice.
And was just flying through it and like not dying. I think she died like twice throughout the entire game. I was like, I hate how fast you type compared to me. It's so bad.
She has to. That's her whole job.
Dude, I mean, it's her. Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, that's insane. I can't. Yeah. It was wild watching her play it though.
After
like,
playing the game and typing up scripts, I've noticed that I've gotten really, really fast at typing again.
I know, even from typing emails, I'm like, I'm better now. I'm not looking as much. Like, yeah. Best way to learn.
It is fun. Well, I have been playing. What have I been playing? So I jumped into a couple different games. Inscription. I decided I want to replay Inscription, and I wanted to play it on Xbox so I could start working on some achievements for it. And it's on Game Pass, so it's been fun just jumping back into that and doing stuff that I never did in the original. Like it's so cool jumping in and actually just figuring shit out. And then I started playing what other game? I started playing another game, and I wanted to talk about it. And I don't. Oh, New World.
Oh yeah, so, Atrium. Yeah, or whatever the new update is.
So New World decided to. It's a game that came out back in like 2021. I want to say. And
an Amazon game,
and they sucked. They completely ruined the game within like a month of the game coming out, which sucks. And they re-released it on console, and they changed some of the stuff to make it more playable, and it's actually been really fun this time.
So is it a expansion, or is it just a retitled thing?
They just retitled it, but they also released an expansion. It has mounts now. It has like there's some cool stuff that comes out with it. The one bummer is they're really focused on the console players having a good time. I mean, if you're playing on computer, you're not having a good time.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Like the new update they did just a couple of days ago, I tried to get on and I tried to get on for about an hour and a half before it finally let me play.
Oh geez.
Yeah. It's really rough right now with the computer, but the console I heard you just jump in right away. No problems. Everything loads and renders right away. Yeah. They're really trying to switch to console, but I don't blame them, too, because before the console release, there were 5,000 active players at any given time playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game that had, like, a lot of people playing when it first started. 300,000. So quickly.
Yep,
yeah,
300,000 right away. And now, console players make up 65,000 players every day.
Damn.
Which is, you know, well over the fucking 5,000 PC players.
Do I have to pay for the new expansion stuff if I've already bought it?
It's 30 bucks for the expansion, so it's not too bad.
Half the price of the game.
No, the game was only $40. So it's almost the full price of the fucking game, dude. Like, it's crazy. But they did add a lot to it. There's, like, three or four new areas. They're all PvP areas. You get, like, some cool stuff if you mine and stuff in the PvP areas. You get more things, but if you die from PvP, you lose half of what you got.
See, and the game lost me for one reason and one reason only. And it's the dumbest fucking reason, but it's also... I hated their housing system. One of the things I loved in the game was how much you could decorate your house stuff. And I was like, this is fucking sweet. I don't mind having a grindy game, especially if I can make my house look really cool.
Because grindy games are also fun just to play for a long time because you love grinding.
Exactly. But one of the things that was annoying with that is I was like, oh, cool. They have this decorating system where they scale you. They give you a point system based on how you decorate it. And people who have the best decorations have high points, or so I thought. But it was based on the town board. The amount of quests that you did in the town board gave you a multiplier for every item you had in there.
Oh, lame.
So the amount of points were based off of the quest you were doing and not the items in their house at all. And I was like, as soon as I found that out, I was like, then what's the whole point of a decoration system if it's only based on the leaderboard?
To go fuck yourself. That's the
quest. Side quest. Grinding side quest when I'm already grinding to get these supplies.
I mean, you know, they fucked over that game hardcore. It's probably the same in the housing. I bet they did very minuscule things to adaptability of the game, but they did improve the level system. You can get to level 65, which they maxed out the level by 5. Very quickly. I remember first playing the game and getting my wood cutting up to 100, and that took me like, I don't know, 15-16 hours, and I did it in 2 hours.
Probably more than that. I was gonna say, I was like getting I think I read something where like getting each skill up to the max level or something was gonna take like, when in the original release, was going to take like 200 or 250 hours.
Yeah, so, and then the max skill level at the time was 200, and every skill you go up, basically, it's exponentially harder each time. So
yeah,
I think for the first 100 levels, 20 hours is probably about right, and then it just gets, for the next like 10 levels, it's another 20 hours, and the next 10 levels, it's another 50 hours, and the next, you know what I mean? Like, super exponential. Like,
and that was
crazy.
For each thing, too, so... Chopping down trees. You had to chop down trees for 200 hours.
Yep,
then you had to chop down ore for 200 hours. Then you had to go gather herbs for 200 hours.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's so much better now, honestly. Like I said, it's a couple hours I think I spent chopping down trees, and I'm already level 100.
Okay, so that's good at least. Yeah, yeah. It was way too.
I am a little bit frustrated because all the places I normally mined are gone now. Like they changed kind of the mining map. But I mean, that makes sense for bringing in new players. They're going to make it easier for them. So now I have to figure out where all my mining areas are.
I mean, I guess they weren't really worried about keeping old players anymore.
No.
If there was only 5,000.
Yeah, those 5,000 players can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they got a ton of people buying the expansion. Guys, I can't stress that you should retry this game enough. It's so much fucking fun.
Okay.
All right.
I'm still on the fence, so.
Yeah, you'd like it, but well, let's jump right into this game's story. Did we announce what game we're playing?
Doom
2016. Yeah, it's just called Doom, but it's like the appropriate title would be Doom 2016 because the original game is also called Doom.
Anytime anything has the exact same name as something else in its own franchise, I say the year because it is way too
I even
confusing.
Do that with the original, like Doom 93.
Yeah. Well, so. And it's so dumb, like so many franchises do, like, especially like the Halloween movie franchise. Yeah. There's three movies in that franchise that all are just titled Halloween.
This one's Halloween.
Yeah, they didn't do a Beetlejuice thing where it's Beetlejuice, and then the third Beetlejuice would be Beetlejuice.
No, it's Beetlejuice.
We definitely summoned him if he's real.
Yeah, right. That was like 20 Beetlejuices all in a row. All right, well, let's just jump right on into the story. The story of Doom 2016 starts with Doom Guy waking up to find that he has been thrown into a world of chaos. A gateway to hell has been opened into the facility Doom Guy finds himself in, and he needs to close it as well as kill everything that stands in his way.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep, that's pretty much the whole story. I don't even know what. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I played through the entire game. I still don't know why I was doing what I was doing. So.
I mean, I feel like that's just the Doom franchise.
Yeah, it's always been the Doom way. It's just do whatever you need to do.
It's kind of like the Elder Scrolls lore. It's like there is lore, but it's hidden. You have to find it. You have to seek it out.
And
it's
there's
not just
so
like
much of it.
Something
it's not
you're
going like,
to get from playing. Yeah.
It's like Dark Souls and Elder Scrolls. There's just so much fucking lore that it's impossible to find it all and understand it all.
You need to watch a YouTube video of some nerd who did all the work for you. It's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, the making of Doom 2016 starts in 2004 with the release of Doom 3. The team immediately wanted to work on the next game in the series. Doom 3 was met with a lot of hate, however, which caused the team to be a little hesitant in making another Doom game. Many felt that Doom 3 didn't have the same speed that the two previous games had, and Doom 3 felt more like a run-and-hide adventure rather than the shoot-and-ask-questions-later that most people loved about Doom. After a while of shopping how to go about making Doom 4, the team finally started. One thing the team noticed right away about the current market for shooters was that people wanted to play games like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
This led to the team dedicating a lot of time in making more of a cinematic game that would have more of a Call of Duty feel to it. This was dubbed Call of Doom.
That's awesome. Yeah.
This was met with widespread hate from fans when it was initially announced. Many people working on the project stated that they felt like people would have liked the original concept of the game, but would have felt like they missed out on playing a true Doom game. So from 2008 to 2013, the game was made and restarted many times. This led to the eventual cancel and renewal of the game. It's just, again, it's the same as fucking just 5 different games I think we've done where between 2008 and 2013, they're like, fuck that game, let's start over. It's funny.
I mean, if you got to do it, you got to do it,
yeah,
I guess.
Really, you do, but I just can't believe how many times it keeps happening. And it's
no, seriously. Like, how much money is wasted in that process?
Yeah, and luckily Bethesda, I didn't put it in here, but Bethesda was the publisher, so they had enough money to kind of say, okay, you can restart because we think you're going to do a good job. You know, other companies that don't have that kind of money, they're going to be like, go fuck yourselves, release this fucking game.
Seriously, though.
This led to the eventual cancel renewal of the game. Finally, in 2013, the team at id Software, which are the original makers of Doom, decided that I don't know why I put that. The team decided that they wouldn't do Doom 4. I put that wouldn't do
that. That works in a sentence. Yeah.
Oh, no, no. I put the team at id Software decided that that wouldn't do Doom 4, but I think I meant that they decided that.
That's fair. I think it works.
Yeah, either way, it's fucking bullshit. They would instead do a soft reboot of the game. This finally got the game going in the right direction. The team did keep many pieces of the original idea of Doom, but changed much of it to fit the new game. The team was headed by Marty Stratton. Stratton said that the making the story of the game was difficult, that they didn't know what direction to go in at first. Stratton says on this, "We did go through a lot, through a process of asking, what is everything that we think we are the best moments and the best elements of Doom as a whole, whether it's Doom 1, Doom 2, Doom 3, or Doom 4 that we were working on previously, and then try to distill it down. What does this mean? What do we keep saying? What keeps coming up? That's really what drove that decision. If we're going to come back, we're going to set a tone for the future of Doom. It really just felt like it felt right to use the original as our inspiration," which I totally agree with. I think, because again, if you ever played Doom 3, guys, you know how fucking bullshit it was. It was horseshit compared to the other Dooms.
Like, I've only played 1 and 2, so.
Yeah, because those are the good ones. Doom 3 is, it's good if you like really, think of Doom 3 like Amnesia. Okay. Like, honestly, you know, Doom 1 and 2 aren't scary games, but Doom 3, holy shit. They made it horrifying, and they made it, like, ammo way more scarce, and they made it, you have to hide constantly to kill things, and, like, you would avoid
fights. So more survival horror, more, like, Resident Evil
style
or something.
Which is not Doom. That's just fucking Doom.
Doom is run and gun
exactly. So it was crazy that they even tried Doom 3 in that way, and it was the original makers of Doom, the original people who made id Software, too. So it's really weird that they did all this stuff and they didn't, I don't know, think that this is the wrong choice, but whatever. This isn't about Doom 3. It's just funny that it went so far down to where one game in the series is known as the black sheep and it's that game.
I mean, it happens with a lot of franchises, though. There's always that one game that everyone's like, oh, God, what were they thinking with that one?
But normally it's like a stepping stone. I don't think this was a stepping stone. I think it's just like the redheaded stepchild or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people say that with like Resident Evil 5 and 6, but then the remakes, or 7 and the remakes came out, and everyone's like, Resident Evil's amazing again.
Yeah. This is not to say that scrapping the original idea was an easy one for the team. Stratton says on this, it's a hard decision. A lot of people spent a lot of time on that. And again, it wasn't that it was bad. It's just not the right thing, which I agree. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were going to do Doom 4, it could have been good. It's just at the time, it probably would have been great. People would have loved it. But it's just, there's not always an ideal time to make a more this Call of Duty direction or this Halo direction on a game, you know?
Yeah, well, and you kind of have to go with the market and stuff or what's going to be the best and most popular and kind of weigh the options.
For sure. Stratton says that one of the earliest problems he can recall in making the game was that the team had all these pieces, but no rules for the pieces to follow. It made it hard to figure out pacing for the game. Eventually, someone came up with the idea of glory kills. This led the team to a much more cohesive game board. Now, there were no enemies that were too strong. There was a way for the character to gain health and ammo without dying a few hundred times. This led the team in the right direction and led to more breakthroughs. Hugo Martin, the creative director for the game, says on this, there are several components that make it work. It makes you feel powerful. It pulls you into the action. So as a general concept, it takes the fight to the bad guys. Add the fact that health drops out of them, and it's an integral part of the dance. It's an important part of the whole game loop. The glory kill helped to ease the problem presented with Doom 3, where the player would be out of health and ammo and have to run and snipe to get past an encounter. Combat was a very integral part of the game. In Doom 3, combat was dangerous, and many times the player would simply avoid it and run and hide. This was what led to so much hate for Doom 3 and was something Stratton wanted to avoid for Doom 2016. Mm-hmm. In talking about combat, the team said if they only had $10 to make the game, 8 of it would have gone to combat.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The bad guys in the game were an important part of the combat. The team wanted the bad guys to reflect the bad guys from Doom 1 and 2, so they tried hard to make them as similar as they could with a lot more of a modernization as well. In developing the AI for the bad guys in the game, the team had to be careful with how difficult they made them. In other games, a Baron of Hell bad guy might be a mini-boss, but in Doom, you can just run into them anywhere. other creatures like the zombies were likened to white belts in a Bruce Lee movie. Martin says on this, our zombies can give you a good whack, but it wasn't about them being cool or formidable. It was about you feeling cool killing them. You've got to have a dojo full of white belt, that white belt class that the hero just beats the shit out of. I love this guy. He's so
agreed.
They just make you feel cool because you are just mowing through these guys, and then the mancubus shows up. He's the black belt. It's just
fair.
It's funny because it's true. Like, the zombies are not an important part of this game, but they're important to drop health. They're important to drop ammo. They're important to be fodder, to bring your confidence up. Like, it is interesting how, and I guess I never considered, like, designing bad guys to make sure you're ready for the next level of bad guy.
Yeah. Well, no, and it makes perfect sense. And, like, there's always that feeling. Everyone wants to feel powerful in a video game, especially in games like this, where that's kind of the whole point, is you're just this tank of a person who's just running and gunning through everything. If you're struggling with the smallest of enemies, you never feel powerful.
Yeah, and you're going to get bored of the game real quick.
Exactly.
Gore nests play a crucial part in the game. They are things that, when destroyed, leads the player to have to kill a lot of monsters. The team made it this way on purpose. Martin says on this, that's exactly what you want. The more direct way is saying, hey, you're a badass. You can do that, too. But the little design choice of the gore nest being something I activate as opposed to being triggered when I get near it subconsciously says, you're one bad dude looking for a fight. The Doom Marine is a full-on battalion. He's everything you need. We don't need vehicles in Doom. He's a tank. I think that type of commitment was great.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right? And he's right. Like, you're not going up to it and triggering an event and making you feel like you're doomed because so many enemies are coming. You're saying, bring them fucking on. You
know? Yeah, let's go.
And I love the way they put that. That's awesome. That is so fucking smart.
And they did a really good job at balancing that, because there's never a time where you're just like, I feel so small and insignificant and weak. You feel strong throughout the entirety of the game.
All the fucking time. And you feel fast, like you are fucking awesome. In the original Doom games, the chainsaw plays an entertaining role. In this game, they wanted it to be more of a practical weapon, one where the player would be seeking it out. This led to a lot of ideas for the chainsaw. The original idea for the chainsaw was that it would give out health just like glory kills. A programmer decided to do a little edit on it one day, and apparently Hugo Martin would relax at night by playing the newest edition of Doom 2016 in order to find glitches or to highlight things he liked. He was playing one night when he picked up the chainsaw and killed a monster with it. After killing the monster, a fountain of ammo came out. Martin had a very excited feeling when this happened, and this led to him going in the next day and demanding this happens every single time.
Nice. That's awesome.
Right? Martin says on this, you got a little bit of ammo when you killed guys with guns if you needed it, but we lowered that value as low as it would go, and literally right up until the last week of developing the game. I remember I requested one last final tweak to actually suppress every other way to get ammo in the game in order to allow the chainsaw to shine. I felt like the chainsaw was one of the coolest features in the dance. It wonderfully complemented the dance, and I wanted to steer into it as hard as we could. Which, again, I love. That is such a good fucking idea. Fuck all their ammo. Make them use the fucking chainsaw.
Well, yeah, no, they made it so your chainsaw and glory kills are the main ways you get ammo.
Yep.
Like, being up close and personal, getting in their face, seeing how powerful you can be is the way to do it.
Yep, for sure.
Sitting back and just hiding behind a gun is not the way to play this game.
Yep. When developing the maps for the game, the team had to keep in mind the fast pace that they wanted for the game. If a character could get across the map in a few seconds, it would make for a really boring time. This led to many levels that were set in an unconventional way. They couldn't make the maps too real because people would be running into walls, so they made them more abstract. This also helped hide some of the secrets. Another area the team had to question was the horror of the game. The game in itself is not too scary. The first two Dooms were not too scary as well. The third game was the only one that felt like a true horror, and it is considered the worst of the bunch. This led to the team in making the horror of the game much less than what they had done in 3. Martin says on this, some people criticize Doom 2016 as not having enough horror. In order to have horror, I have to feel vulnerable. There is no horror without me feeling vulnerable and on my heels. The Doom Marine is never on his heels. He's on his toes, and he puts other people on their heels.
Yeah.
Which is so true. Yeah. You literally can't have a horror Doom game. You're too fucking strong.
Yeah, no,
it's
seriously.
Like throwing Superman against zombies. You're just like, what's the fucking point?
Like, he's not going to be ever scared of that or afraid of that.
He's
like,
literally going to mow them down until they're all gone. Like, yeah. It's just such a, what a stupid idea to have a horror game and then you're fucking Superman in it. Fucking dumb shit.
I mean, that's why in the best of horror games, you're just like a reporter or just
you don't
some
have
random
a weapon
guy
or
you've never been in the military. Yeah. You're just
you're either
there.
Don't have a weapon or your weapon's extremely limited when you're really scared. And that's what makes a good horror game. Music in the game is done by Mick Gordon. Gordon had to go in some strange directions in order to make the music for the game. He really wanted to have the sounds from the original game be incorporated into Doom 2016. He ended up recording a version of the original Doom songs, but felt like the notes were not low enough to demonstrate what he wanted. He ended up using a 9-string guitar in order to get those notes where he wanted them to be. Some of the other things he used in recording of the sounds and music was cassette tapes, old guitar pedals, and an antique Russian synthesizer.
All right.
Gordon says on the synth, "I don't speak Russian, and operating the synth is kind of an adventure."
That's awesome. Yeah. The game I'm just going to explore it.
Right. It's so funny. The game was released for most platforms in 2016. Martin says on the release of the game, it's funny because I thought especially hardcore first-person shooter fans, especially fans of Doom, would pick up on how fucking great this is and how wonderfully it complements the dance. And they are going to fucking love it. And sure enough, they did. I can't tell you how many articles were written where people were like, I would just like to write a little editorial about how fucking awesome this chainsaw is. That made us so happy because that's what we were banking on.
Yes.
And I want to add a note in here. That's the whole story I put in. There was some stuff about the multiplayer, but I didn't really find a lot of good information. Apparently it was garbage when it first came out.
I never played it. I don't play multiplayer in a lot of these games.
Yeah, and I didn't even try it, and I didn't play this when it came out, so I don't know. But it was garbage. Another company was in charge of the multiplayer, and id Software took it back and I guess fixed it. But they never really made it clear what was wrong with it and what they fixed about it. So I didn't want to include it because I didn't have enough information. So
here's going to be my kind of hot take that I'm going to say about this. I feel like a lot of games are either good single player games with tacked on multiplayer, or good multiplayer games with a tacked on story mode,
or just multiplayer games with nothing at all.
Yes. I've been feeling like there's just not a lot of games that branch and do both extremely well.
Yeah.
Halo was one of the few exceptions to that.
Halo is the only one I can think about, because even Call of Duty, fucking hated the campaigns for Call of Duty.
But even Halo started leaning more on the side of
multiplayer
than it did, especially in the later sequences of games.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially 4
onward,
so hard.
It really. But I mean, 4 onward, they didn't have the same writers. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I just really just think that a lot of times you can't get a good multiplayer out of a single player based game.
I agree. But yeah, that's the making of the game. So let's just jump into the best and the worst.
Yeah. Best parts of this game, I'm just going to say, this has the best run-and-gun gameplay I have ever played. It's not even close.
Fuck everything else.
Seriously, the amazing weapons, the glory kills, especially the glory kills in this are so much better than any assassination in any other game I've ever played, because you can do it from every direction, in every way has a different animation, a different style of kill. It's just so much more fun. All the power-ups incredible. Like getting that speed boost with like haste is just insanity. Mm-hmm. Getting the berserker and just being able to one punch everything in the game is just an amazing feeling. It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah. I think the best part for me, definitely, gameplay is fun. It's very engaging. It's a limited RPG, just like we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. I do like limited RPGs. You can affect your armor, your health, and your clip size, I believe. And then as well as find additional things for your shields and other things you can do in the game. There's a lot of elements to this game that's not just run and gun, and I really like that about it.
Yes.
The only thing I will say bad about this game is it, I have a thing where sometimes I feel like a game is too short and sometimes I feel like a game is too long. And this game I felt like went too long. Probably like three levels too long. Because eventually I felt like I was just doing the same thing over and over and I got kind of bored in the last three levels. Up until then, though, I was having a fucking blast and I'm like, am I really still fucking doing this? Can we just like moving along already?
So it's funny you say that. The first time I played this game, because this is actually the second time I played through it, I didn't actually beat the game the first time I played it. I stopped about three missions from the end.
Yeah, because that's where it feels like it ends. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, this just, it doesn't, there's something about that like last couple levels that just, the pacing just drops.
Yeah.
It drops completely and I lost all motivation. I had, playing it the second time through, I actually had motivation of I want to actually complete it this time. So I didn't have that same drawback as I did the first time. But I it is just funny that you mentioned the exact same thing that I had my first playthrough.
Yeah, that's just, it's, the game is good, guys. I just think sometimes these shooters tend to overstay their welcome a little bit. I've said this about other games where I'm like, I just wish I could have gotten fucking more. I wanted more on this. I wanted more on that, you know. But this game is one I think a less is more approach would have been great. Because it's already kind of long with exploring all the maps and everything. And then jumping into the last three levels, you're just like, okay, come on. Let's just fucking big boss already. Yeah. I want to get over this.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely hard agree with that. Some of the other things, I really do love a lot of the level designs and the map, especially. The map is really good for finding any of the
level designs were fucking awesome. The map was so awesome. Good. Like, normally I hate the tiered maps because I always feel like they're confusing to look at, but this one was really, really, like, easily detectable.
Easy to read.
Yeah, easy to read. There's nothing, like, mysterious about it. Secret areas were fun to find. They do put an option to find like a map key basically, so you get the entire map unlocked so you don't have to explore it all,
which you can find just the key to the map on every level and it just tells you where all the collectibles are. So even if you're wanting to do this all in one run, it's not too complicated to, as long as you find that key, which they're never too hard to find the keys.
There are three difficulty tiers, and the first tier is actually kind of difficult for some of the enemies that you fight, so just so you guys know. But for the most part, I didn't have a lot of bad parts. Honestly, the game as a whole felt complete. Everything felt really good. The gunplay was awesome. The pacing was fucking great. The characters were cool. So I didn't put it in here. There was a voice cast, but they played such a minute role in this game that I didn't feel like I needed to include them.
There's basically only two voices you
hear.
There
are five actors total, but you know, three of the five actors were just extra things that happened on the side.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of, I don't know, like it, I could have mentioned them, but honestly, it just wasn't worth it.
Our main protagonist is voiceless.
Yeah.
He's always voiceless, so it's not much to shout about.
And the other thing I guess you could say is kind of a little frustrating is the story. Because there's a story, sure, but it's not really clear what the story is.
I never really cared about the story.
Yeah, honestly,
and they even
it doesn't
have,
matter. Like,
yeah. And like when you're in hell, you actually find these like lore stones and stuff, kind of like in Hellblade as well.
I fucking skipped them, dude. I didn't give two shits about them.
I listened to a couple of them, but I was like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand. I don't know any of this lore. You don't do a good job of making me feel like I need to know this lore.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing is based on the gameplay. And it seems like that was kind of their whole mentality towards it, too. So when you're primarily focused on gameplay, you lose the story.
Which is fine, as long as the gameplay is good. So, and I think they did a good job on
incredible.
That.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I kept all the reviews because sometimes I get some good information out of reviews, too. Like, oh, this, and if you didn't know, this director also starred in a porno. And you're like, oh, cool, I can put that in here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that porn.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch that porn right now. But you can get some good information from reviews sometimes, but all of the, I don't know what it is about game reviews, dude. Everyone thinks they're fucking a genius or something, the way they write. They're all
everyone.
And this magnificent, blah, I can't even fucking say it, beautiful game where the lines and streaks of colors adorn the eyes and make the soul feel pretty. Like, they all talk like that. I'm like, guys, just say whether the game was fucking good or bad. Jesus Christ. You don't need to go like, I really like this. I really like that. I really like this. I didn't like that. You know, that's all you have to do. Why the fuck are you talking like that?
I killed things.
I blew stuff up. I chopped some shit with a chainsaw. My dick got hard.
Dude.
Rock on.
You heard the quotes from the guys, the creative director and the fucking maker of the game. They're both just talking shit nonstop. They're both saying fuck. They're both like, they are proper people for me to listen to. These other fucking reviewers are not. They're just too fucking uppity. I don't like that uppity bullshit.
Yeah, I there's this whole thing, and I've been seeing kind of a renaissance, and I've been kind of hoping this renaissance takes on a little bit more, that more reviews are going to be more real and more real dialogue instead of this, I have to be PC, I have to not cuss, so I can be monetized. It's like, no, everything who cusses fuck. Should be monetized. You should be able to make money by saying fuck.
Yeah,
fuck.
The fucking jackass guys made money from it. We can, too.
Exactly. We don't have to pander to the majority audience. We can be a new audience.
Yeah, but seriously, like, the way people write reviews now is really annoying, but for most of the reviews were written like that for a fucking Doom game, and I was just like, okay, guys, you understand what you're writing a review for, right? This is I'm not an idiot here. I understand that this is a fucking Doom game, and I've seen videos of who's the maker of Doom? It's something Romero, right?
I can't remember.
I always get confused because it's not John Romero, because I think John Romero makes Night of the Living Dead and stuff.
That's George A. Romero.
Okay, so maybe it is John Romero.
Probably then.
I can't remember exactly, but I know he's awesome. Like, the way he talks is fucking really cool. Like, he's such a cool guy. He's not uppity. He's not anything. And yet the reviews for his games are always fucking uppity. It's so weird.
He makes beautiful shit.
He does. I don't think he's with the company anymore, but he was originally.
That's fair. That soundtrack also does good.
Oh yeah, the soundtrack is pretty sweet.
Yeah,
the music was pretty cool. But I don't really have any like super hard things that I loved besides.
Oh yeah.
Well, I won't give it away because it's going to be in the secrets and stuff. So there was one thing I really loved about this game, but I'm not going to give it away here.
All right,
we'll talk about it when we get the secrets. I'm sure you mentioned it. So
maybe not. I don't think I have. So maybe you'll have to mention it.
Well, it's the biggest secret. It's not the biggest secret in the game, and it's in every level.
Oh, yes. I did get some of that stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
I assume so. All right, let's just move on then.
All right, so the first few hours of the game, what is your first few hour review?
This is a 5 out of 5 fucking first few hours, guys. You are going to have so much fun. The first 2 hours is so enjoyable. It's a little slow for the first, like, 5 minutes, and then it ramps up real quick.
I was going to say, like, it doesn't even take you that long to get all the weapons. Like, it doesn't, like, besides the BFG, you have to wait a while to get to the BFG, but you almost get every other weapon pretty early on. And I mean, like, it kind of does depend on how much you explore, because a lot of the weapons before, like, you get it story based wise are just hidden in the levels that you can find. But
first 2 hours, dude, seriously, this is fucking perfect. They did a great job on the first few hours.
I agree. The pacing for it, especially, honestly, the pacing for the first 8 hours is perfect.
Yeah. There's only a couple games that I'd give like a 5 out of 5 for the first 2 hours, and I'd give a 5 out of 5 for this
one. This one deserves it for sure. All right. So that's it for that then. Let's go on to Steve Achieves.
Steve Achieves what?
So, the game is about 11 and a half hours long, and if you're looking at 100%, it'll be about 27 hours.
Damn.
So we got what else you got is completing all the missions in one run. And only 1.68% of people have done that one.
I'm not surprised.
We got A Toe into Madness. I just really like the title for this for what it is. You just have to play the first level on Ultra Nightmare difficulty to get a.
You don't even have to like. Yeah, because it's just a toe. It's like you dip your toe into the water.
Yep. So actually, I love what this game does, especially for achievements. No matter what difficulty you beat the game on, you get that same achievement. It doesn't have you have to beat it on each difficulty or lower.
I like that makes more sense. Like, you do different things on the hardest difficulty rather than actually beating the game.
Yeah, they don't have different achievements set for different skill levels, which is something that I really appreciate, especially for someone who wants to achievement hunt.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be a master class at every game to get a perfect 100% trophies. And then I also really liked the name of this one, Every Nook and Cranny. It's getting all the collectibles in the game, and only 1.95% of people have done that.
Nice.
So, yeah. That's it for what I have for the achievements. There's plenty of others, but those are the ones that stood out the most to me. So we will go on to the hunt for all the eggs. This is all the secrets and Easter eggs in the game. So Scott was kind of alluding to earlier, there are 13 classic level sections hidden in the 13 levels of the game.
Guys, they're so fucking cool. The only thing that would have made these levels cooler is if when you're in them, the monsters look classic too.
Yeah,
I read the reason they didn't do that, but it would have been cool to make them look classic.
Yeah. This is really cool.
Guys, if you don't know this, but I read this, they put the monsters in the exact locations that the original monsters were in as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you find a secret lever. You pull the lever, and it opens up a random room somewhere near that lever. You have to go find that room, and once you're in that room, it takes you to a section of one of the original levels.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing about this is actually one of the last things they did for the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was another joke. It was a joke by one of the developers to throw a secret level in there. And so he was like, okay, so when you're playing this level, and he was talking to Hugo, go look for this lever in this area, and you're going to find something real cool. And then Hugo does that, and he's like, this is the fucking genius thing we needed to excite people so much. And so he brought that to like a open showcase for games for Bethesda, where mm-hmm. a bunch of Bethesda developers were coming in showcasing what they were doing, and people played it and pulled the lever and were fucking ecstatic about it, which I love.
Dude, it's awesome.
So cool.
Well, honestly, I like this approach of like a reboot more than a remake, and then just having the ability to just switch back to the old graphics, because mm-hmm. even though that is cool in games like Halo 2 and stuff like that, like there is something to be said of just like fully remaking the game from the ground up and then like doing a reboot of the franchise and then just having an homage to all of the original shit.
Yeah.
So also on the mission A Brighter Tomorrow, there is an arcade cabinet with Super Turkey Puncher 3 that you can play.
Nice.
So yeah, there's multiple game arcades in the game, and you can actually play. You can actually go to them, and you can play these mini games in the game. I'm like, what the hell? I didn't actually see that on my playthrough.
This is a side thing, but I just watched a video which is fucking crazy. Okay.
Okay.
It's Minecraft, you know, mm-hmm. and in Minecraft you have the redstone builds that you can do.
Yeah, those are ridiculous.
Someone built a giant computer in Minecraft to play Minecraft in Minecraft, which I cannot believe they did.
Did you also see the guys that like made a telephone and actually ordered a pizza in Minecraft?
That's
using a
fucking
phone to create
amazing.
I was like, what the fuck are people doing?
And they show you like it was like the CPU, just the CPU unit mm-hmm. for the game, I think took up over 1 million blocks.
Yeah.
So it's like the entirety ridiculous. Of the thing was like over like 200, 300 million blocks or something.
Yeah, basically, because you can just basically write binary code in Minecraft. So you can basically create whatever the fuck you want.
It is so fucking cool. God, these games are so intense now, man.
Yeah. Who would have thought a game with blocks would be the most complicated, complex
and people call it
place for
dumb.
Geniuses to go ever?
People are fucking idiots.
It's because they have no imagination.
They don't.
So continuing on for the Easter eggs, on the mission Lazarus Labs, you can find a mini game called Demon Constructor that is basically Doom Candy Crush.
That's cool. God, these guys had so much fun making this game.
They put in so much cool shit. Like, we were talking about that with the Easter eggs that just like stroke their own dicks or whatever. And those are always kind of annoying, but like I love just random ass Easter eggs.
They,
like, what
these
the fuck
are like,
is Super Turkey Puncher 3?
They're not just stroking their own dicks. They're having fun with it. They're like, fuck it. We're not going to say we're the best ever. We're just going to fucking put some shit in here and show you how stupid we are.
Now for stroking their own dick a little bit. Id Software series is known. Has a series known as Commander Keen that has a couple of Easter eggs as well. A Doom branded football helmet, and then there's a Dope Fish logo on a Cup of Noodles box on each level.
Nice.
So yeah, those are all making homages to other games and other characters they've created. So I was like,
I was wondering if Rage made its way in there, but I didn't think it did.
I don't think I saw anything with Rage.
I don't know if they were super proud of Rage. So
okay. On the Cadinger Sanctum Mission, there's a small cave with a skeleton wearing iconic Dragonborn helmet and has an arrow in its kneecap.
That's cool.
And then one last Easter egg that I found on the Foundry stage mission. If you jump into the lava, Doom Guy will give a thumbs up as he goes down, just like in Terminator 2.
I wish I would have done that now.
There's so many different death animations that were homages to things too. That was the best one that I saw. I was like, that's so wicked. But like, who would have like done that? Like, you would have had to accidentally fall in the lava and then be like, oh shit, he totally did the Terminator thing.
I'm Arnold now.
Like, it's so cool. Honestly, I love stupid touches like that. I love when games have homages to like other franchises.
I agree. That's cool. They did a fucking awesome job with this game, so.
Yeah, and I don't even think that's all the Easter eggs. That's how many secrets and Easter eggs this game has.
Dude,
like, I had to confine it down a lot.
You didn't even talk about the ones I saw. I didn't put them in my little notes because I wanted to leave them for you.
Oh.
So in the music, there's 5 different Easter eggs, and only 4 of them have been found.
Oh.
I know one of them is if you track the music, if you put all the tracks on like a tracking screen, it spells out 666. Another one is if you play a certain segment backwards and play it in mono, you'll hear Jesus loves you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like those ones are there. They're just, I don't know, they're kind of obscure. So I didn't, and I thought maybe you'd find them. So I was like, I won't bother putting these in the music section. But Mick that's Gordon even had fun. He wasn't even a fucking developer. He just had fun with the music.
Oh,
you know?
That's amazing. Yeah.
Everyone just had a blast making this game, it sounds like.
That sounds like just an amazing crew.
Yeah, he also said only 4 out of the 5 things were found, but I didn't bother looking up the other ones because, again, I didn't, you know, it's not really my motif to look up the secrets.
I'll have to look into that, though, because that sounds interesting as fuck. But yeah, I guess we're on to our last review.
All right. Well, I'm going to call this a 4 out of 5 for sure.
Yes.
I don't think this deserves a perfect rating. It's not a perfect game. It doesn't have a perfect story. But holy shit, is it fucking good.
Yeah.
And that's not saying like a 4 out of 5 is... Like, think of a 4 out of 5 as near good as you can get with most games for me.
Yeah.
You know,
like, 5 out of 5 is... This is as close to perfect as it possibly can be. It's still not perfect. Nothing is actually perfect. Yes, exactly.
It's our personal like preferences to games. Like I have a couple games that hit that 5 out of 5 mark, and you'd hear them and you'd be like, "Why the fuck did you give that one a 5 out of 5?" You know?
Yeah. So many people would be like, "Oh, you give this a 4 out of 5, so you're giving it like a B," and it's like,
"No, this is A material."
Yeah, I was like. A B or an A are like really amazing games to me still, like totally worth the value that you're paying for.
For
it.
Sure.
Only if it gets down to like 2 or 1 am I saying like do not even purchase this.
Yeah. I think 1 for me is a don't purchase it. A 2 is like give it a try, you might have some fun.
Yeah, 1 is don't purchase. 2 is like purchase at your own risk. You might find this entertaining if you have this niche thing that you like.
3 is
probably
is
kind of middle
perfect,
of the road.
Yeah,
like there's
average.
Good things, bad things, whatever. It's buggy, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
4 is going to be like, this is what everyone can jump in and enjoy. Yeah. And 5 is the epitome of just perfection.
5 is Skies of Arcadia. You can't beat Skies of Arcadia, guys. That's one of the best games ever made.
Never played Skies of Arcadia.
You need to because your whole life would change.
Fair. So for me, I am also going to go with 4. Super solid gameplay, fun soundtrack, and still maintains the feel of the originals so incredibly well. Like especially after not playing the originals that long ago and playing this again, like this was so like I just felt the same vibes. Full-heartedly, and I was like, yes, this is how you remaster or reboot a franchise and still keep the original feel of what it does. And it's something that I wish like Halo would be able to get the original feel of those games back. I want something like that to happen in the future of Halo, but that's asking a lot.
yeah it would be hard to bring it back too. But yeah, that was Doom 2016, guys. We hope you liked it.
Yes.
Our next episode is going to be Immortality.
Immortality.
I thought it was Immortality, but I was almost thinking like am I sure there's a Y in there? I think it was just immortal. Immortality. Yes. This game is fucking weird.
This is a movie-based game.
Yeah.
You're going through footage and stuff. If you are trying to play along, I definitely highly recommend opening up the About Game page before jumping into the game and go into this game blind if you can. Because honestly, going in blind makes this game way better than trying to find anything.
I started to look up how to play, and I went to a Reddit page to see if I was playing right. Because someone else asked the same question. Like, I'm kind of lost. Yep. Am I playing this game right? And on the Reddit page, they're like, you're doing it just fine. Don't look anything else up. And I'm like, deal. And I close it up, and I'm like, I'm doing great.
I did the same thing on my first playthrough. I'm on my, this is my, I think, third playthrough of this game.
Yeah,
so.
It's really cool so far. It's just weird. But we'll get to that next week. Yeah. So we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Later.
Bye.
Love you.